It is 1899, the turn of the 20th century. 23 years after the extraordinary British scientist Phileas Fogg went around the world in 80 days, he now seeks to better his own feet, to travel to any seven destinations on the planet, no matter how far within the year. Fogg will then justifiably become the head of the Royal Academy of Science. There's just one small problem. Phileas Fogg is a cad, a philanderer, a murderer, and a monster. Only a small group of dashing heroes know the truth, and only they can stop him in an adventurous race around the world. Sugar-Fueled Gamers, in association with RPGMP3.com, presents The World's Most Wondrous Year, a Savage Worlds pulp adventure. A small word of warning. This game is played at a table with a baby and a toddler. Expect a little bit of crying and some periodic toddler commentary throughout the podcast, but that dies off about 30 minutes to an hour in when we put the kids to bed. Thanks for your patience. Episode 21. So, when last we left you, you had landed in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You had gone to the fancy party of Senator Gregory Gladhand.
Yep. We got our photo and signature.
Yep, you easily got your photo and signature, and now the job is basically done.
Yep.
In the process of that, the senator talked to Fogg about how the senator could cement his legacy by having such a wonderful political wife, blah, blah. And Fogg immediately didn't so much propose to Elsa as declared that they were getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which will happen tomorrow night, incidentally.
Okay. Really? Tomorrow night? That soon?
Yep.
Okay.
Gaston Lavache came up and said a phrase to Mara in future English.
Yep, I saw that.
Annabelle Sinclair came and danced with Jonathan.
And he thinks she's up to no good because no woman could just be interested in him.
Mm-hmm. Some nefarious types that were talking to her at the party were seen following Doctor Strange and Mara to the park.
Yep.
What
were Doctor Strange and Mara doing in the park?
Oh, they stayed up. They stayed late at the party after Pete and Jonathan left.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had Mara had this weird exchange with Gaston Lavache. Then went to the park and talked to Doctor Strange about it, and other future related, you know, how he could have learned future English and what the language meant and that sort of thing.
Right. So Doctor Strange knows about the future.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's at that point they noticed they were followed by these two guys. Chased them off effectively.
Summoned a policeman from the future.
So a crime is happening. returned to the apartment, and that was basically it. Everybody,
except for discovering that Mara had been robbed.
Well, everybody crashed in for the night. It's been quite late that evening.
Yep.
Then the next morning when Mara got up, you were all basically in the apartment hanging around. Mara gets up a little early, goes into the dark room, to process her photos, opens the large camera case and finds that it's full of mechanical parts instead of actually a camera and photos. And so as a consequence, you have lost all of your photos and all of your affidavits that you've thus far obtained. So, Pete, you're bumping your fighting to D10.
Correct.
Jonathan's bumping his vigor to D8.
Oh, very nice.
Getting more hard ass, but now he's picking up the chips. It's time to recruit.
Well, Jonathan's kind of the second tier fighting character.
Yes.
He's pretty effective.
Sorry, it's just me and you fighting.
Sorry, I've got one here.
You weren't exactly particularly fragile. Well, that would certainly make you tougher.
Means
my toughness is now slightly higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mara was putting something up, I forget what.
Good to know.
And Doctor Strange.
I have got drain power points, which will affect mad science as well as arcane.
Yep.
I have banish for getting rid of nasty things, because that's something that I'm pretty good at. And best friends, so I can talk to the animals, because I'm an actual Disney princess.
So if that's all good.
Yep. So what was?
I got rid of my fear of blue eyes.
Yep.
I got rid of my combat edge power.
Oh, right, so you're swapping something.
Yeah, I picked up my mind-reading power.
Right, so you decided you didn't want your...
I wasn't using it enough, so yeah. I swapped it out. And I also boosted my persuasion up to a D8 plus 2.
I don't understand how you advanced two things.
I didn't. I swapped one out.
Yes, but you said removing a hindrance is an advancement.
Buying off the phobia.
Yeah.
I did the same thing for Susan.
Only half an
advancement. You buy it up as half a skill.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot you did that for Susan.
Yeah. So that's all good. And now I have a D8 plus 2.
It's because they're externally inflicted hindrances.
Makes sense.
Put on you by other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that being the case, I will actually start with a small retcon.
Yay.
Well, actually, not even. So, Mara, you are up looking. You've just sort of opened your camera case and poking these parts, going, what the hell? You know, Pete and Jonathan, you're probably just rising and starting to poke around.
Pete just sat bolt upright in bed and said his first words since Paul proposed last night, which were, I have to stop this wedding!
And then the camera pans into Dr. Strange's room, where she is sleeping, curled up in the bed, unsurprisingly, with Tom basically curled up directly around her. Not really spooning her, because it doesn't work with a cat, but more the just, like, sitting right next to her face kind of thing.
I kind of see the, given that she's sleeping in bed with a cat, Doctor Strange is lying on the very edge of the bed, while Tom curls up in the centre, taking up as much of the bed as is humanly possible.
That's feline-y cat, as possible.
Entirely possibly Tom did this when he was a guy, as
You were sleeping both unusually late and unusually deeply, Dr. Strange.
True.
And the camera basically pans in on the two of you, zooms in, and as it comes closer, it starts to futz out and sort of wobble at the edges and things.
Mm.
And we see that we are entering a dream sequence. And so... You the player, are aware. Doctor Strange is not necessarily aware that she's dreaming, although it's one of those dream logic things where what you're doing makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You are in an old temple with Tom by your side, but not Tom the cat. You know, Tom the tall, handsome man.
Yeah.
You know, your broad-shouldered husband. This certainly wouldn't be the first dream you've had about, you know, having him back the way he was, thing. And the two of you are, as you've done so many times, making your way through this ancient temple, you know, filled with deadly booby traps and, you know, mystic symbols and all that kind of thing. And yet, can you give me a knowledge of culture?
Sure. Let's D8 that. Five.
Okay. There are things that are obviously wrong here. Like, this sigil over here, this is Mayan. But on the other hand, that's pretty clearly an Ankh of Life style of thing.
Mm.
And this here, if anything, appears to be sort of a Latin symbol for the sapping of power and that kind of thing. Used by ancient church folk to ward off warlocks, kind of thing.
Mm.
You are in this temple that is a bizarre hodgepodge of half a dozen different ancient cultures, style of thing. And none of these should be here and together. And Tom is just sort of happily brushing away with his archaeologist brushes on the wall, clearing off more sigils. You will notice this temple room you are in is quite large. It's a big, sort of cavernous thing. Pits all over the place, flaming braziers, that kind of thing. Tom is brushing at a few of these symbols, trying to clear them off the wall, and there are thick cobwebs covering what must be another 900 symbols or so all over the walls.
Yeah.
Brush, brush, brush. Brush, brush, brush. Brush, brush, brush.
It's alright, he says,
in Tom the cat's voice, instead of Tom the man's voice.
That's terrifying.
I've almost got this.
Is my character doing anything?
Tell me.
Yeah, you tell Jared what your character
You're like kitted out in your classic archaeologist adventurer style gear.
So my character's probably translating the symbols on the wall. So she'll have a notepad out, and she might be doing scribblings and stuff to transfer it onto the page so that she can get a clear impression of it if it's a new symbol. And so she's probably doing that.
And you are sketching this, and it makes no sense to you for a moment, despite the fact that you could read this language in your sleep, excuse me.
Yeah.
You look at it again, it blurs, it changes, you look at it again. No, Tom's voice doesn't sound right. And at this point, you will actually realise that you are dreaming.
Ooh.
It's the only explanation for why this makes so little sense. It only operates on dream logic.
Mm.
You are here now having a fairly lucid dream.
Oh, excellent.
Wow.
Symbols everywhere, but not a drop to read.
Is there anything unusual going on besides the dream?
Like what?
Like, is there any particular glowing symbols?
Yes, there are glowing symbols.
Oh, which ones?
The ones directly in front of you.
In fact, okay.
When you look up from your sort of rubbings, your translations, you take the paper off the wall, and they are starting to glow with that faint sort of dim green luminescence.
Okay. What are the symbols suggesting?
Thank you.
They look like runes of power.
No thanks.
Chocolate.
Thank you for the offer.
They are basically arcane symbols of power, like batteries, that sort of thing.
So to make use of them, I need to scribble them down, do I?
You need to
invoke them. So I need to call their names.
You tell me. You call their names, you draw them in the air, whatever that sort of thing is. You could produce little, tokens of them, amulets or unks or whatever style of thing.
As soon as you look
for such a thing, you have it off you, of course.
Is there a lot of symbols?
Not many. A handful? Half a dozen, maybe?
So, like, six or something?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking if I had like a rosary or something, I could write a symbol on each of the beads.
Like this one.
Oh, yes, like that one. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah, you look down at your wrist and shake it slightly, and yep, you have a bunch of rosary beads on.
Yeah, so I start sketching the symbols.
Yeah, quite nice ones made of a sort of only semi-hard clay, so you can actually scratch into them quite nicely. Mm. You basically reach around with a little knife. Ching, ching, ching. And then you hear a voice from behind you again, and this time, about halfway through the sentence, it changes into Tom the Man rather than Tom the Cat, as Tom the Man comes up behind you.
Yeah.
He says, "Yes, that's it. It's starting to work."
Tom? As I'm scratching it down, I'm kind of peering behind myself.
No, I'm just a product of your imagination. I'm part of the dream.
Oh.
But I'm here to talk to you, like I always am. Even though I'm not here, he sort of gestures round at the open room, I'm still here. It's the hand on the heart.
Oh. Have I finished writing down the symbols?
You have.
I'll put the beads around my wrist, and I'll turn around and I'll sit down. On the ground and face him.
Yep, he sits down with you. So you.
He knows what's going on, does he?
He seems perfectly comfortable. Something's happening, isn't it?
Yes, these sigils on the wall here, they seem to be of an arcane source. I've written them down on these beads here. I believe I can do something with these.
Fascinating. Of course, Atlantean, Mayan. They're based off some of our digs. This is information we'd already uncovered, but you've put it together in a new way. That's remarkable. Do you feel like your exposure to the various supernatural elements of Transylvania have added to your understanding of this?
It's quite possible. It was quite a magically charged area. I wouldn't be surprised if it's unlocked something within me, and possibly yourself.
Merely shown you a way to connect the dots. You were always bright, yeah. You always understood. This is quite remarkable.
I need to try this out on something.
As you say this, there is a sort of that classic booming thud at the door of the temple and the heavy stone doors opening, and Maxwell von Braun walks in.
Of course, he would be in your dreams a lot.
Set up to the gills with his steampunk goggles on his head and his weird flintlock pistol.
And everything seems to be more cut out than it normally is.
Yeah, very much so. He's a pimp.
He looks like he's a much, much bigger threat than he actually is in real life, because it's my dream.
Vel, what is going on here, Zin?
Von Braun! I move in the way of Tom. You will not take my husband again.
Here, Dr. Strange, still you do not understand. He pulls his pistol out, sort of cocks it to unload it slightly, and checks it again. And it begins to glow with that sort of glowing, but not golden light, almost glowing black, as if there are shadows starting to stretch out from it, like little hands reaching towards you. You still do not understand. Whatever you have that I want, I will possess.
You will not have anything! Swirling hands around. Suddenly there's swirls of magic.
Maybe you draw the sigil with your hands?
Hand with the rosary.
Yeah,
you draw the sigil.
And, of course, the symbol appears in the air, Doctor Strange style, the movie style, and begins to glow. And what is this trickery? Boom! It, bink, hits the symbol, flies off into the wall.
Yeah, and then I throw the symbol at him.
Ah!
And that's the draining power points one.
He seems to stagger back away from it, then looks at you again. Pathetic. You are unworthy of the powers you wield. You have no understanding of them. Click! 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 He looks at his gun.
It seems I am not the one with the misunderstanding here.
It's all of them.
Yes, I know. I've seen what else he's got to do. You fool. Well, I have been distracting you. My mind spiders have seized control of Thomas. Is that what this thing is? Says Tom and reaches up and pecks this little clockwork spider on his head. It was biting me. Now, destroy her. No, he says, crush. Here, Doctor Strange, you are meddling with powers you cannot possibly understand.
Oh, no. I think you'll find that I'm beginning to understand them far more clearly than you ever will. Makes another symbol and banishes type. Throws it at him and banishes him from her dream.
And he begins to sink into the solid stone floor like it's quicksand.
Mm.
Like he just kind of starts melting away and sinking into it, and sinks sort of very rapidly up to his knees. What? No! Sinks up to his waist. This cannot be! Sinks up to his chest. And then just as he is going under, he shakes his fist at you and sort of points off to a distant corner of the temple. There is enough understanding here that you could search for your entire life and never understand it all. I have seen beyond your veils, Doctor Strange. You may banish me from here, but I will be back. We will finish this another day. Shakes his fist and vanishes under the stone altogether.
I quite hope that we see each other once again, and this time I will banish you properly from my life. Ominous.
And
So she'll go back to Tom.
Flicks a mind spider into the wall.
Yeah, dusts off the spiders. So, you're still a cat.
Outside of here, yes. That doesn't mean it's going to have to be that way forever.
No. This is a step in the correct direction. I can work with this. I can come back here later on and I can learn more about how to free you from your cage.
The temple of your mind will always be here, waiting to be unlocked. Mind is the greatest mystery of them all.
We can do this. Together.
Together. And he leans into you.
Yeah, big kissy thing.
Kissing your lips. And then we cut away to elsewhere. And
awesome.
The camera unfuzzes, of course.
Yep.
Back in the real world.
Yep.
Jonathan, I imagine, just sort of gets up at his leisure.
Yep.
Pete sits bolt upright.
Yep.
So
I made sure there was like water and an aspirin.
Yep.
Pete's bed in case he needed it.
Yep. So Pete sits bolt upright in bed.
I have to stop this wedding.
That's probably quite loud. That might wake people up.
We have to stop the wedding.
And then Pete will, you know, get up and look around and try and work out, you know, where he is.
Yeah.
How he got to the hotel.
After a few minutes of sort of, yeah, okay, you're definitely in your hotel. You know, you're hungover, you know, but you're pretty hard ass, so this will take you like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I take the aspirin, I drink the water, I go out,
yep.
I catch up with what's going on and find out that Jonathan took me home from the party and thank him. The party, in fact, finished.
And miraculously, you then feel fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, Pete brightens up. And
I'm still developing photos.
I presume Mara informs us about the missing.
Then we all catch up in time with each other.
Yep. I've chosen archaic.
Okay.
Archaic magic.
Yep.
If that's suitable, is
that? That is suitable.
Alright, so we have a couple of problems. Someone has stolen our camera and our photos and our signed documents, which is a bit of a blow.
I don't think they're stolen, I think they just picked up the wrong case.
Alright, someone has accidentally wandered off with our important, valuable expedition materials.
And I assume basically you're all sitting around the table, sort of Mara's brought out the case
yeah.
and opened it up and showed
yeah.
what's all this.
And I'm fiddling with this stuff, trying to build it.
Yep.
Additionally, there is this terrible, despicable wedding that needs to be stopped. And anything else? We've got various dodgy characters wandering around.
Yes.
Who may or may not have sinister purposes.
Yes, we should collect our knowledge together and write it down on a piece of paper. And
a to-do list.
Yeah, a to-do list. Yeah.
She's an academic.
Yeah,
she's an academic. She gets out a piece of paper and starts scribbling down notes of things that they need to do.
Yep.
So can we have a look at the contents of this suitcase?
Yep. So Mara has already had a look through it and drawn what conclusions she can.
Mm-hmm.
So you're excluded from any roles here, Mara, mm-hmm. having already drawn them.
Yeah.
Anyone else who has repair is welcome to do so. Boom. Yes, it's pretty much repair.
Not science.
Yes, actually. It'll give you different results, but yes.
I've got a 5, assuming I can add my toolkit bonus.
Yep.
So that's just a success.
What about you, Susan?
I don't have any of them trained.
Not even science?
No.
A cult scientist.
Yeah, I'm an occult scientist. I'm smart, but not that kind of smart.
So, Pete, you look at this stuff and reach the same conclusion as Mara. It's definitely designed to go together. It's not just a bunch of random weights put in a case. It's a bunch of specific, highly machined parts. There's wires, there's you know, there's metal bits, maybe some sort of case, you know, you're not entirely sure. But it's incredibly hard to work this kind of thing out with not what it's supposed to be and no obvious instruction manual or anything.
Yeah.
It's like having a giant box of Lego with no idea what the original thing was.
Yeah,
given enough time, you might...
Yeah, I mean, Pete can mend cars and, you know, other mechanical devices. But this appears to be a gadget, and that's a bit beyond his field. Can I find any kind of, you know, mark, evidence, notes, if lost, please return to...
a remarkable absence of such.
Okay.
There's nothing of the sort there. And, while you were all sitting around the table doing this, can everyone roll me a luck check? Straight
D20.
Yay! 19. 18. Okay, two of us roll off.
It's
19.
It's totally Mara.
It's actually about who's got the lowest here.
Oh, okay. Oh. Doctor Strange.
Is Tom Black by any chance?
Probably.
So,
I don't think I've got the right name, but oh well.
Yeah.
You can always change it as after the fact. As long as you haven't written it in pen, it's probably right. Okay, so you were all basically sitting, the four of you, around this moderate-sized table, probably something about the size of what we've got here. A table covered in parts, picking them up, sort of looking at them, Pete's clicking them together and going, well, this can clearly connect to this, make it a screwdriver, but you know, I don't know that I necessarily want to assemble this thing. What could this possibly be? What could it all mean? And the... next thing we'll have is a notice check from everyone at some probably at this penalty. Notice check at -4.
Mm-hmm.
That's brutal.
11
minus 4. 7.
-1.
I got a 6.
I got a 5. We should have passed, but with the -4, so...
Yeah, no, I added the -4. I got a 6.
Yeah,
my dice exploded.
Nice. So, what did we end up with?
7 is the...
6.
7 and 6.
I think there's mind spiders in this box and they're eating Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Doctor Strange actually succeeded on this. You are looking through, you yourself as well, you know, are trying to contribute by virtue of picking a few bits up and trying to sort them out like a jigsaw puzzle, even if you don't know what you're doing. You can still perhaps vaguely help. And in the span of about 2 seconds, you're holding some bits up and you hear pshht, a shattering of glass. And Doctor Strange, you are just fast enough to glance round behind you where the main patio window looking out beautifully over New York has just shattered into a million pieces. As if something has come through it at incredibly high speeds. And then a moment later, you hear a noise. And see a couple of things come flying into the room. One of which appears to be a little black cylinder that goes rolling across the floor and starts hissing out gas of some kind. Visual smoke gas stuff that's filling up the room. A moment before that, however, you hear the pop and the whiz of something flying in the air, and you have just enough time to turn and see there is something headed for you like a bullet. But you are not caught off guard by this, because you succeed, so your assailant does not get the drop on you.
Okay, that's good. I just need to not die.
Which point?
Oh dear.
You exploded me.
To actually check our mystery sniper's stats.
New York, never a dull town.
It's a simple job.
I'll just jump out the window and use death defiance.
I can do that.
It is legitimately an option available for you.
I love my character, she's great.
Wait, do two of our four party members have Death Defiance now?
I've had it since the beginning.
I have too.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, but now we've only got four people. We started with six, now we've only got four.
Actually going to miss you.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Drop, you have just enough of a moment to realise that the thing that hit the window in the first place was a bullet, which is immediately followed up by a shot of something else, and you duck under the table as soon as you realise this is happening, just within moments, push the chair away, sort of fall backwards, and the window is back up here, your head was here, and right where the back of your neck would have been, half a second ago, comes flying this big, thick dart that goes twang into the table, and sits there ominously, and then half a second after that, the clink, 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 and shh, and something starts to fill the room.
Okay.
And everybody pack.
Yay! Alright, so we're rolling... Are we drawing cards for initiative?
Not at this stage.
Okay.
This is just the initial attack.
Okay, well,
You can just... we don't desperately need to unless you particularly desire to.
Okay, alright. Well, Pete will endeavour to grab the hissing thing and hit it back out the window.
Fair enough.
that's what I was going to do.
Same.
Can you give me that would be shooting.
Okay. To pick up something.
Yeah,
and
shooting,
throw.
Shooting is throwing, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Wow.
And I roll poorly.
Okay. So you pick it up, sort of coughing and spluttering slightly. You can't really see. You throw it to where you think the window was.
And it hits back into the window frame.
Yeah, and you hear,
it
chunk as it hits, you know, a bit, the other bit of window that wasn't broken through.
Yeah. Okay, so someone who's better at shooting can have a go at this, not listening to any Jonathans.
Yep. I'll attempt to.
Jonathan re-grabs it and attempts to hit it out the window.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's gone.
Okay, and this time... You sort of slide forward and basically don't bother to lean down and scoop it up so much as just kick it, and there's a whoosh and it goes out the window and sails, you know, down to the streets below. This has been the pulp universe. You don't have to worry about hitting civilians with this sort of stuff.
Or killing anyone with
also
any
it's
the
a,
gases.
It's a small object, so...
Yeah, falling at terminal velocity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to drop pennies off the Empire State Building because you can kill people with what I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And can everyone give me a vigor check?
Okay.
At least
my vigor's not complete yet.
Yay!
Oh.
Wow, that's not good. You have blue eyes.
I'm going to re-roll that.
Oh,
I got a 5.
I am very vigorous after that dream.
What else happened in that dream? Was Tom wearing a shirt?
Tom.
I feel like he lost it.
He probably wasn't.
Yeah, I can look at Tom. Or else he was wearing one of those, vest ones that where it's just, like, shoulder bits and the whole chest is exposed.
Yeah, this is a PG movie. He's probably wearing that.
5.
4.
Right, so no,
no
fails.
I got a 9.
Okay. So everyone sort of coughs and splutters. Your eyes begin to water a little. But this gas grenade thing is out of the room before there is any particular problems. And now can everyone give me a notice check at no penalties?
Yes!
I got a 4.
Five.
Did not succeed.
I got an 11.
Oh.
Okay. So...
Me and Notice are best friends today.
Mara, you're, you know, slightly too far down under the table, still going...
too close to
your lungs out.
I'm protecting my husband.
And the rest of you put together, you know, in the span of 2 seconds, wait, what the hell? We've been attacked by what? And look out the window where these shots must have originated from, and you will see... Across the street, on the other building, there is a sniper basically lying there with some sort of relatively complicated-looking rifle device on a little tripod.
I'm going to...
Dressed entirely in black... with the sort of balaclava pulled over the face, so it is a mystery sniper on the building rooftop opposite yours, effectively.
Okay.
Who is currently going click chick 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 and reloading slash pulling on their gun or whatever, and what, if anything, do people desire to do about this?
I'm coughing.
I have something I can do.
Go for it.
Is there any birds around?
I take the pigeons.
Yeah, seems logical. New York High Street.
Yep, I take the pigeons.
Oh, I'm being attacked by flying rats.
It's line of sight.
Which animal? So this would be a small swarm, effectively.
Yeah.
So there's power cross 3, right, doesn't make it more difficult to do. Yes, you can do this, so do I. So what are you doing here?
Telling them to attack.
Go, gadget pigeon.
so like with the theme of my attack, I think basically I will have my hands like this against my head.
Yep.
Psychic
broadcasting style.
Psychic broadcasting. I've quickly motioned a rune in the air in front of me and then gone to psychically broadcast, and it acts as a speaker.
Yep.
To the birds. And I'll tell them, you need to attack this man. He is taking your children, your eggs, and your food. He is after your food and children.
Roll me arcane casting.
Come on.
I hope this is really awful. 69.
Okay. Success in a race.
Excellent.
It takes 3 power points.
Yeah.
And this swarm of pigeons that are sort of all lined up along the building ledge suddenly all take flight. Start flying across the street.
Yeah.
Jonathan and Mara.
I'm busy coughing and no one's pointed out that there's a bad guy, so I'm skipping this round.
Seeing as how this situation seems to be taking care of itself, I'm going to go see if I can find out what was in the dart.
Okay.
Using science.
So it is still stuck in the table. You can fairly easily, you know, sit up, yank it out of the table, have a look at it.
Yep.
At even the most basic of glances, it's clearly a fluid injection system. You know, it's designed to inject into someone and inject them with whatever drug this is. And yeah, you sort of shake, in fact, you don't shake it, you unscrew it and pull it out and see what the chemical is inside. Roll me science.
Is it almond smelling?
I imagine it's got its scientific notation on the side of the tube.
10.
So you recognise it as being basically an incredibly fast-acting anaesthetic, knockout drug. It's actually almost completely harmless, basically. You would be knocked out by this if the dosage was hard enough for you. But you'd, other than the small pinprick hole in your neck, which would hurt a little, you'd more or less wake up fine. This definitely hasn't been designed to kill. It's been designed to KO.
Oh, pass information along.
Where did that come from?
The guy on the
road. The building's across the road. I use my power.
Oh, really? Awesome.
So
it's my
base. There is a masked sniper across the road on the other rooftop.
Yeah.
Taking shot. Who took the shot at you, presumably.
Yeah.
And Dr. Strange has commanded the pigeons to go and attack him.
Awesome.
Does Pete wish to do anything?
Best Disney princess.
I mean, I'd probably quite like to take a shot at him, but is he well out of range, given I've only got a pistol?
Not necessarily. He is across the road, but...
This is great.
You really can, can't you? Known language, impossible languages.
Yes,
words.
He is in long range, which is -4 to hit, effectively.
Okay, so I will take a shot at him.
Yep. If anyone wants to go really hard ass, you could theoretically jump across there.
No.
How high up are we?
Several dozen stories.
Yeah,
you're in the penthouse of a hotel.
Yeah, no. Pete is an action hero, but he's not Batman.
Yeah.
And
John McClane would have done it.
I'm going to miss.
Okay, so you pull out your magnum. And the peace of the morning is shattered by this heavy boom, boom, boom of a couple of great magnum shots going past. The rifle had actually been relatively quiet.
Yeah.
It was basically one bullet to shatter the glass, one dart.
Yeah.
One smoke gas grenade thing.
Yeah.
And then under fire and being attacked by pigeons, the sniper basically flips from his position on the ground upright, flicks the gun up, goes bang bang, knocks the tripod down, sort of slings it over his shoulder and starts running across the building, running away from your hotel.
Yeah.
So up to you whether you wish to pursue this, but they're effectively moving well out of your
Oh my gosh.
I would like to try and catch him, yeah.
Yep. At which point it will become a chase.
Yes.
Chase.
So is everybody going to join me in trying to run this guy down?
Yeah.
How are we chasing him?
Because, okay. I mean, one thought is for Jonathan and Pete to do the chasing and Mara and Dr. Strange to investigate elsewhere.
I can investigate his room, but I can't chase him. I'm not good at running.
I have the D10 to run.
Yeah, Jonathan's the best.
Yeah.
I'm not going to run. I'll just drag you guys down.
Yeah, you've got tiny, tiny legs.
Well, the other thing is you guys might want to keep an eye on our case or the mystery.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
the only clue we have.
The mystery sniper is not in a room... in a building across the street. They are on the rooftop of the building across the street. The building
right.
across there is shorter than the one you were in.
Right.
Now, you can totally chase them down. You've got to go down out of the building, then get back up and catch their trail and that
yep.
sort of thing. But it's quite doable. It's simply a chase where they have the advantage on
yeah,
you. So
yeah,
they get
sense.
Free markers to start with, essentially,
yeah.
to say
yeah.
they've already accrued a bunch of successes on the basis they're starting much further away.
So...
our mystery sniper starts with 3 successes as he starts running away.
Yeah.
If you want to pursue him, you're most welcome to. If you wish to circumvent his lead by jumping out of this building and trying to hit the next roof, or flying, or any capacity such thing, you can attempt to do so.
No, that's quite all right.
And in the absence of that, we will go to a chase.
Yep.
And if... Dr. Strange and Mara aren't going to pursue on foot, then I won't deal you in per se. I'll just go to you each initiative round.
I won't be able to keep up with
and
them.
And vaguely
so.
See what you're doing, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just a point you might want to keep in mind, rather than racing through the hotel, you might want to use the fire escape.
Yes, that's a good idea.
There'll be one on the outside of the building, wouldn't there?
Yeah, yeah. It's New York.
Yep.
So Pete can hammer out the window and flood down the fire escape while Jonathan... in front of him, vaults down the fire escape 3 floors in front of him.
See, this is where you need a special edge
called.
I do only have a D4 in athletics.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
This is where you need a special edge called parkour.
Yeah, Pete doesn't jump off buildings.
Well, the thing with parkour is
parkour is not where you're 24 or
a science gym.
He doesn't jump off buildings. He builds buildings to jump off of.
Well, with parkour, it's keeping yourself moving. It's not being able to jump. It's to keep moving.
Ah, but this is action.
Okay.
Mm.
So action genre.
This is an athletics check. Jonathan,
moving.
Because
yeah.
you are fleet-footed, you basically get +2 to all your athletics rolls. That's how this rolls out.
If I don't get my
D10. No, that's for when you're taking specifically running actions. Here, you're sometimes running, sometimes jumping, sometimes climbing. However, athletics at +2 means you're going to be getting a minimum of a success on anything that isn't a crit fumble.
Yeah.
Alright, so can you both give me athletics checks?
I get a success.
I get a success.
Mystery sniper gets nothing.
Yay!
Do you want me to do points?
Yeah, if you want.
How many successes? 2?
1 each, I believe. Yeah.
1 and 1.
Could I have my card? Thank you.
Okay. So, Jonathan,
mm-hmm.
What's your method of engaging this mystery sniper?
I think we're going down the fire escape, so...
Yep. Of course, and of course they'll be rattling down their fire escape as
yeah.
well. Albeit, like, on... So you're coming down one side of the building here, they're slightly out of angle on the other side
yeah.
of the building, so you're not directly across from each other. But you can hear the fire escape rattling and have an idea where they are.
So as soon as I'm down and able to rush run across the road.
Yep.
Into their fire.
So I believe are you saying can Jonathan make an attack at this point?
Hang on, I'm getting there.
Sorry.
Okay, so Jonathan, you start hero sliding down the fire escape. Basically, you don't climb gently down each thing.
Yeah,
you just do the shoof, shoof, shoof down each ladder. You know, the swing, the land on the next one. And you were about halfway down when you see them hit the ground and start running down the street. And you have indeed got a shot, if you want one. On a 10, it is at mid-range, so minus 2 to hit.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was a good time to roll an explosion.
7.
7.
And bang! You hit them. Roll damage.
Ooh.
Is that 12?
19.
that's quite being short.
I think you might have just decapped him.
You might have done, yes.
They will answer, perhaps unsurprisingly, endeavour to soak that. At which point you get a draw from the bag.
Wow, Jonathan's on fire tonight.
Ooh.
They're not trying to run away from the Cairo sniper.
A success on that.
A nickname I've just decided you picked up in Cairo.
And you clip the sniper and they stagger, sort of spin around the corner and start staggering into an alley, clearly wounded and bleeding, hit somewhere.
So did he manage to, with the soak roll, did he manage to negate that to just wound it?
He is merely down to one shaken and one wound.
Merely. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
And he's also wounded by the pigeons.
While sliding down the ladder, you make that shot.
Yep. It appeared to be a shot, like, just clipping the back, sort of past the kidney area kind of thing.
Oh, the kidneys!
And Pete.
Okay.
You were further up the railing and also have a shot if you want one.
Okay.
Albeit at long range at minus 4.
Yeah. Oh, I think I'm unlikely to be able to hit him, but I don't suffer a penalty like shooting anybody else.
No,
so.
No.
Alright. No,
it is possible this chase, if this chase moves into heavily crowded streets, you'll start running into problems like that, but no.
No, so Pete will take out an innocuous chunk of railing.
Yep.
Nowhere particularly. He's actually thrown off by, he was aiming for where the guy was before Jonathan shot him, but the guy took cover after Jonathan shot him.
Okay,
yeah.
So Mara and Doctor Strange, you are in the hotel when you hear this bang, bang, the thing comes through, you all duck, you throw the grenade back out the window. Jonathan shouts sniper and leaps out on the fire escape.
Technically, Jonathan threw the grenade out the window, so Jonathan's basically done everything,
Pete leaps out a moment after, and you can hear the rattle, 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 rattle of the metal of two, you know, tough, heavy, strong guys going down the fire escape.
Like, Jonathan, then, dun, dun,
what do you two do?
Stuffing everything in the suitcase. And closed.
Hey. Oh, it's funny. Try and assemble that.
I think we need to find somewhere a little safer than here. We seem to have been compromised.
There's some rattling and clunking noises. You sort of jam it all in, snap, clip it, try and
do we have everything pre-packed? Like, is everyone packed?
Heck no.
You guys are neither particularly paranoid nor have any particular reason to be, so no. I imagine all your stuff's in and around the place.
Okay, well, I'm going to start gathering my gear and keeping the box away from the door.
Do you think we should call room service to clean up the glass, or should we be doing that ourselves?
It would be polite to at least notify them, even if we don't do that ourselves. Have you finished looking at the parts?
Well, you've just put them away, so yes.
I can move them away from the window is what I'm trying to say.
Well,
I'll put them on the bed, which is not in front of the window, so that she can have a look at it.
Yeah, she starts.
Just be prepared, just in case if somebody comes into the room. Because I would not like to think that he has friends.
So, before all that, what was that with the pigeons you were doing before?
I was talking to the pigeons. I told them that he was stealing their food and their chicks.
I blink and send it back your way.
Incidentally, what we then cut back to is the swarm of pigeons going around the corner. This is not necessarily going to help you chase the guy down, but it will certainly help if he tries to hide from you.
Oh, so you can follow those pigeons.
Yep.
Follow those pigeons.
Alright, and we go back to athletics checks for all the chasing people again.
Yeah.
Maybe a long range spell.
Single success.
I got 11.
Is that two successes?
Yes, it is. It's 2, 1, and 8.
And you got.
Oh, you
got one success.
One success.
Did you get any?
2.
Oh, I was going to say you caught up, but no, you haven't.
I don't know if that's enough that the guy just gets away.
It is. That's what I'm looking for.
Jeez, you're jumpy.
If I was just using running, I would be using a D10. So I'm now going to have to put my athletics five up to a D10.
Is this so you can get away from the mummies?
Yes.
Of course. I know my nephew.
Yeah, I have fleet footed, which is D10 wild dice for running.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, your next spell has to be shape-shifting. Use the talismans and continue into a cat.
Oh, no. We don't need more cats, do we?
No, I don't think we need more cats.
You could definitely get a crazy cat baby.
The sniper starts accelerating off and is at some point in here very rapidly going to disappear into sufficiently crowded streets that he will functionally just disappear.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he now has enough successes that he is outdistancing you.
Yeah.
But that's at the end of this round.
Right, so we have one more round to take him down.
Yep, or catch up with his number of successes, but...
Yep, which we have not done, because we've already gotten the successes.
Yeah, unless you want to spend a million hero points on it, which is probably not terribly likely.
No, not desperately, but I would like to see if we can actually shoot him.
Yep. One card for you, 2 for Jonathan. Have the king, it's vastly better for you.
Yep, you don't want a club.
He's got the same ability.
No, it's not an ability, it's the number of successes he rolled on.
Yeah, 2 successes, so he gets 2 cards and takes his better pick.
So, good news, it's Jonathan's turn.
And the other thing you can do in lieu of shooting is, you know, make other things, throw his chest, etc.
11.
But I don't think it's going to be relevant, because I think Jonathan's going to shoot his ankle.
You're at no penalty to hit, so that is a hit with a raise.
Yay, so that's your D6
of damage.
Oh, gods. Okay, so far it's 16, plus the extra D6 because you got a raise.
Yeah, you need to roll another D6. 17, 18,
19, 20.
Holy shit, you're distracted.
You shoot out his other D10.
Wounded.
He's on the ground dead.
So that would be 4.
No, people can't die, remember?
I think she just shoots out both his kneecaps at
the
same time.
He's got a permanent injury after this.
Yeah, fear of Jonathan.
Wow.
Shit.
You're a machine of smoky death.
Like, my first one takes on every was to use marksman and try and shoot him.
Yeah, see, you don't need marksman. You can just run him down. And shoot him.
Cold running. Running down a ladder.
Pete's only really useless here. He's going to be carrying the guy back because he's not going to be able to walk. He's going to shot him in the ankle.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Jared has to find out what happens to a guy who's already wounded and then he takes 6 wounds.
Yeah, I really wasn't expecting him to go down this hard.
He meets the concrete. Okay, the concrete is not nice.
He is incapacitated.
Yep.
It makes a bigger roll. I'll get the result of this and then you can dictate to me what happens. So that is a failure and now a total of one or less. So that's the worst possible result.
Oh my gosh!
You may have accident.
That's dead in a universe where the guy can die.
Yeah.
Here they are seriously wounded. They sustain a permanent injury and are rendered unconscious for several hours. A healing roll at -4 revives them.
Okay, we'll take him back to Dr. Strange for some medical care so we can interrogate him.
Six.
What happened?
Okay, so this is going to reduce his strength. Fairly significantly. That's going to be awesome. Okay, so Jonathan, you were—I can describe this if you want, or you are welcome to. But you take him out. You take him out in some fashion that will reduce his strength in the process. So
yeah.
Go to. He's moving down.
I think Miriam was saying she wanted you to do it.
Oh, right. Okay. So.
Thank you for those success points, Susie.
Congratulations on getting them.
I really don't deserve the congratulations here. This was all
the figure is sprinting down a dark alley, down a dark alley, heading into sort of the more Hell's Kitchen-y slum areas away from the Rich District. The chase has gone on for a couple of streets now. And Jonathan, you run round just in time to see him rifle over his back, leap up on the fence, start pulling himself up. He's going to go over the chain wire fence and then down the other side and flee into the crowd and doubtlessly escape forever, sort of thing. And you stop, line yourself up, pause, you know, get your aim on, style of thing. And just as he's putting his thing through there, you shoot him and there's a boom through sort of the bicep and the arm.
Oh.
And the arm that's hanging on the fence just goes limp and falls off, and he falls and lands on it and crunches the arm.
Oh,
you pull no punches.
And stops moving altogether.
I'm suddenly glad I'm a little girl and won't have to go up as Jonathan.
Pete, about half a minute later, you run around the corner, Magma, and see the guy is just on the ground, completely out cold, arm twisted up behind him, and Jonathan is standing there, gun smoking slightly.
Yep. Bloody hell!
Bravo, Dr. Hannah.
Single-handedly destroyed a man.
I was not expecting that.
Nice shot, John.
Oh, shit.
And Pete will take a look around for a moment, blink, big blinks, and then scoop him up and carry him back to the hotel.
And the two of you, Mara and Doctor Strange,
still working on the gadget, whatever
okay.
it is.
Okay. So yeah. you're hanging around as opposed to fleeing violently into the street. Or
yeah. Well, we've got everyone's gear here. I mostly wanted to get it away from the window.
Yeah,
I think.
What I'm assessing is you're not doing anything terribly time critical, so it doesn't matter if we cut to you in a 5 minute clip. These guys.
Yeah.
Besides, we still haven't had breakfast yet.
Yeah. Mm.
Complimentary breakfast at this hotel, don't you know?
Oh yeah, I paid for a good price for those.
Yeah, so
I want my orange juice.
Pete, you pick this person up.
Yeah,
and throw them over the shoulder.
I will carry them relatively carefully because they're clearly injured.
Yep, and head back. I assume you're not going to do this, obviously, so people in the street are staring and going, "What the hell are you doing with that bleeding person?" So you slip down an alley, climb back up the fire escape, rather than go through the hotel lobby.
Yeah, that's the one.
Doctor Strange, you hear the rattling noise of the fire escape and probably go out to look to check you're not being attacked by more people, and see Pete and Jonathan coming up carrying this balaclavaed figure.
Oh my. John shot him twice. He might need some medical care. And Pete will look before we can interrogate him, and Pete will, assuming it isn't him, and Pete will again carefully lay him out on his bed, I think.
Yep. And you can do just rudimentary stuff where you can patch the wound and prevent bleeding out and all that sort of thing. If and when you actually want to revive this individual, that will come to a healing role.
Yeah. But I imagine you want to medicalize him first, revive him second, thing.
But you take care of it so it's not life-threatening. You can pretty much pick up...
I'm fairly certain the deluxe survival kit I've got has rope, so I can also restrain him once Dr. Strange has finished medicalising him before we wake him up.
Yep.
Also, you can probably just use your Grady. your greater healing spell.
No, I don't have that.
Okay.
I took Drain Power Points, Banish, and Beast Friend.
Nice.
Yeah.
But
so
the
I
other thing
I took the interesting ones.
Yeah, yes. And there's advantages to not using Greater Healing. For starters, you couldn't use it because you used the Pigeon spell and that
yeah.
used a Power Point.
Yeah.
And for the other thing, if you hadn't done the Pigeon thing, which was awesome, and you did cast Greater Healing, then that would be 100% of your Power Points. And if we get attacked by snipers in 2 hours, you'd be all set.
Yeah. And I think the Pigeons also... Did the Pigeons make him run?
Yeah, they certainly contributed to his running.
Yeah, and they've sort of knocked it off once he's gotten into a building style of thing.
Mm. So the Pigeons did their job.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm actually going to spend one of the GM hero points to bring that up to a 2 instead of a 1, which merely brings it down to a non-permanent injury.
There we go.
So, Doctor Strange, your assessment... Is
not as bad as it looks.
Okay, you.
It's bad. It's just not that bad.
They're wearing like all black, sort of. It's the classic ninja suit style of thing.
Mm.
And you roll the arm up and look at it, and you can see it's been shot through here. That arm looks like it's going to be weakened for quite some time. This individual's not going to be up to their usual strength, but it will recover in time.
Mm.
And
I've got to say it. I've got to say it. Let's find out who you really are.
Yeah,
this is the Scooby Gang thing, isn't it?
We even have an animal mascot.
But before Jared says, I'm calling Jonathan's girlfriend.
I'm calling Gaston.
And who is it?
Your mystery sniper is, in fact, a raven-haired woman by the name of Annabelle Sinclair.
Ooh.
Called it!
He shot your girlfriend.
He was evil. None of you listen to me. Why do you never listen?
In all fairness, John, it was perfectly plausible that the woman just found you attractive. Okay, now that she shot you, I think we can accept... Now that she's tried to shoot you, I think we can accept that she's evil. But we might as well ask her why.
Not necessarily. Let's see what her intentions are.
Alright.
I'm still hopeful.
If you wish to revive her, it is a healing roll at -2.
Okay.
Do it.
But not at -4, which would be the other one.
We've restrained her?
Yep.
And she will refrain from taking a hero point to render her injury permanent.
Mm-hmm. That was not good enough.
Hmm.
I should... Okay. Oh, really?
I think that's just
time
to leave it.
Either that or we could spend something D6-y. And, I mean, we worked hard to capture this woman. I would quite like to interrogate her.
If somebody can donate
she will wake up several hours from now.
Yeah.
But we've got a very short period of time before all hell breaks loose and an evil wedding takes place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reroll.
Reroll?
Yeah.
Well, what about an adding of D6 to the roll?
We'll see what this roll is. And if it's good, then we'll add a D6 to it.
Okay, that's a lot more expensive in terms of fate points, which is why...
Is that a reroll?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Well, if it's a white chip, it's a reroll.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's either
a
+1.
Just to say the -2.
Well, actually, the thing is, I need a 6 to be able to get it, because it's a -2.
That's why I'm saying stop.
So, grab your hero point back, and I'll give the D6 hero point.
Okay, so that adds another D6 on top of that.
So you're currently sitting on 0.
That's a D6, and I'm using my power to keep it blue.
Okay, so I roll the dice, and then I roll
the dice
again.
You roll a D6 and add it to your previous result.
Oh, okay, so that
your result is 2 -2 for nothing.
Yeah, that's why I was hoping for a better roll.
Sorry. So
I add a fate point.
Which
and
is a +1. Okay.
And
holy heck, that was an expensive revive.
Yeah, I was hoping she'd roll better on the second one.
Mm. Whereas I thought that given the difficulty, it was better to spend the blue than throw 4 fate points into it.
You treat her wound, ensure that it isn't going to be life-threatening, clean it out, bandage it, that sort of thing. I presume, given the position you're in, you're not actually that interested in healing her physical wound so much as just keeping
reviving
her going
and
reviving her. And there is a... you will have seen as you're doing this, the suit she's wearing is actually not the classic, very curvaceous Catwoman style thing. it's actually quite bulky and definitely leaves you with a generic impression of a man.
Yeah,
so
she's trying to hide
her not massively in disguise here per se, or she, you know, dyed her hair and all the rest of it style thing, but definitely trying to conceal her appearance. And you bring her around, and she is tied up by people?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Who's tying her up? That would be Larceny.
No, okay. In that case, yes,
tie your girlfriend up.
Yep. Oh, yes.
That was good.
Yeah. 11.
I think, actually, Pete ties her up, and then Jonathan takes a look, and, you know, without necessarily saying anything, just adjusts the rope, and now suddenly there's like four more knots in it. It's much tighter.
I touched the rope and suddenly there's 10 knots on it.
And it all squeaked.
That was 11 to keep it tied up.
Yeah.
Right. And basically, Jonathan, you've been tied up before. You understand how this works.
I'm also the only one here with last name.
Yes. Yeah. So you tie her up tight.
It's going to be a sad day when we have to break into somewhere and you're outside.
Theoretically, she could actually pick the knots herself and basically beat your larceny check and untie herself. But it's a lot harder for her to untie herself than it is for her to tie you up, for you to tie her up. Essentially, she takes penalty. She opposes your larceny roll with her larceny roll, but she's taking pretty nasty penalties because she's the one tied to a chair. And yeah, should we have the classic tied to a chair?
Yeah, that does seem appropriate.
And she,
we darken the room and get a lamp.
It's morning.
We close the curtains, darken the room, and get a lamp.
And
yeah,
she,
well, we might want to close the curtains. There's a giant gaping hole in the window.
As she's coming to, sort of mutters to herself slightly in French, and Susan, you will hear. Sacre bleu. And literally as she's coming to, she sort of mutters to herself, you know, oh, my God, what happened? And then comes back to consciousness, looks around the room, and can people give me an empathy check?
Empathy.
I'm going to left the room. I'm like hiding up somewhere.
Fair enough.
10.
5.
9, unless it involves lies.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty much everything here.
Okay, 7.
Wow, she exploded.
And her face goes just very blank. You, Mara, you will see her sort of... She struggles to move, realises she's tied up, wrinkles her face slightly and realises from doing this that she's unmasked, and then just goes very blank and stares kind of impassively at you.
So, the Annabelle Sefton, was it? What was her name?
Annabelle St. Clair.
Annabelle St. Clair. Miss St. Clair, I have to say I'm a bit disappointed. I thought we were getting on pretty good. Then you shot at us.
She stares and passes it back. I have done... where is my French accent? I have done what I had to do.
But why?
You know why. If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you.
No, I really don't know why.
Do not be a fool. I will not give you any information. Torture me if you must.
There's no need to do that, but I know a bit of hypnotism.
Pardon?
I know a bit of hypnotism. I can always learn the answers that way.
She just stares impassively at you, not well disciplined enough to not even make it. What the fuck, face?
Okay, I am interested in this new talent that you have prepared.
Yes, you could theoretically social combat an outfitter as well.
Well, I think we'll let Mara try her hypnotism plan, and then if not, we'll go for the.
Are all these abilities 3 each?
3 each?
3 power points.
No, you've got one pool of power points.
No, they're all quite different.
Yeah, they'll be under spell in the book.
I don't know
so
what
they book.
So Beast Friend is 3.
No, Beast Friend is dependent on what you're doing it to.
Yeah. Okay.
It's about the size of the creatures.
Okay.
Hitting a T-Rex is more expensive than hitting a pigeon.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
And yes, incidentally, dinosaurs are animals, rhesus, things like that.
Yeah.
As are sharks, giant squids.
That's going to be awesome because we're going to the Savage Lands. There'll totally be dinosaurs. I mean, whatever they call the Antarctic area.
So, I spend 3 power points.
Yep.
And cast mind reading, which is opposed by the target's smarts.
I think this girl's pretty bright. This is going to be ugly.
Yeah. Mm.
Still, I mean, what's the? I mean, you know, you've lost some power points. Is the biggest loss.
Oh God, really?
No, wait. Zero.
Nice.
She's got a minus 3 wound penalty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
On a crit fumble, you can fail anyway, however, even if your roll is higher than hers.
But I
didn't roll a fumble on the wild dice.
No, but I
did. Oh, sorry. I'm looking at it as a crit fumble, but
it's a 3 and a 1.
Okay.
So I just need one more point to make it. Defenders win, don't they? On ties?
Sorry?
Do defenders win on ties?
Unsure of relevance.
It's an opposed smarts versus.
It's an opposed your weird science versus her smarts.
Yes.
What have you got?
3.
And she's got 0.
Oh, sweet.
Then she's got 3 minus 3.
Okay, that's good.
So you have not raised her so she is aware that you are doing something like this to her.
That's
if
fine.
You care about that in the slightest.
No, I told her I was going to do it, so.
So what does the audience and the people sitting in this room see?
They're going to see something quite interesting. They're going to see Mara take out a pocket watch, do the classical swinging.
Oh, of course, that's why you're
looking
this.
Deep into her eyes.
Yeah, Annabelle doesn't, you know, follow the watch or anything.
And then I ask, let's see, the question was, you were asking her...
What's she doing? Why did she do this? Why did she shoot us?
Actually, we pretty much figured out that she was trying to kidnap you, didn't we? I mean,
no.
Okay.
that's certainly a conclusion you could come to.
Why did you attack us? And what the audience sees is she gives the answer, then the scene sort of stutters. Goes back to me asking the questions. She answers, but as she's saying it, she's getting a sense of deja vu.
Hey, cool. You could do this with...
No, sorry. She answers, it stutters back, and then I ask the question, why did you attack us? And then I say the answer, and she goes, how did you know? And I answer, you told me.
Is this a JoJo trick?
Yes. This is how JoJo does it.
You could do this with the occult skill as well. It's one of the occult ritual spells. Casting time 30 minutes requires the target to be helpless or willing, i.e. tied to a chair. Alright, so you say to her, why did you attack us? Where's my phone? She went. To prevent your terrorist attack on American soil.
Okay, then the scene flashes back to the guy.
Why did you attack her? She stares at you.
To prevent our attack on American soil?
And she looks very confused and shakes her head and blinks a few times and would clearly, you know, rub her head, but is tied up.
No, you said terrorist attack,
yes.
Right? Because that was an important word.
Yes.
How did you...
You told me.
We're not terrorists. Of course we're not terrorists. That's a shocking idea.
Do not be any more foolish than you can help. How else would you know what I am here for? Why else would you be carrying the bomb?
What bomb? And Pete looks over at the case.
Looks to the case.
That bomb, right? That's not our bomb. That's somebody else's bomb. Look,
that
that's
is
a bomb?
The first time I have ever heard that. Few people are willing to try such a lame excuse.
Look, listen, okay? We had a case with Mara's camera and a bunch of photos from our expedition in it earlier today.
It was part of the rules for winning the race.
Yesterday. Sorry, yesterday. It's been a long night. then and somebody switched it out with this thing, which I now know is a bomb, but I don't know if I can work out how to assemble with that knowledge.
Please. I watched this all happen. And you have the background for it. You are globe-trotting, yes? You go from place to place with no sense of home, no sense of reason. You show up here with an excuse of this race. You carry a man with you who claims to be a skilled archaeologist, as well he is, but he is also a highly trained marksman, able to peg a woman fleeing down an alley at 100 meters away. An unlikely skill for a male archaeologist to possess.
You
Miss obviously...
Sinclair, may I ask you a question? You say that we have no... are wanderers and have no home, but... since you've obviously done your
setting
research,
off the terrorist red flags.
Since you've obviously done your research on us, you must know about Pittsburgh Pete.
Oui. I would not have thought it of you from your reputation.
Exactly. Doesn't that sound a bit strange? That Pittsburgh Pete, an all-American hero, would commit a terrorist attack against his own home?
Yet you cannot deny the evidence. You took the pickup. You received the bomb.
We received a bomb, yes, but it's in a camera case. I picked up was a camera.
I watched you speak to your contact myself, pass the coded phrases to him, and then watched his man switch the bomb for your case. A skilled Andor, but not skilled enough.
So
that looks really classy.
French intelligence is onto you. It would be best to surrender now.
So did you say French intelligence?
French intelligence. The society is your down.
This is all a terrible case of mistaken identity, and I assure you, if you had spent significant time in Cairo, you would understand why it's very important for any skilled archaeologist to be a good shot.
And run fast.
We are innocent travellers, and we really need to share information about whoever this whoever's plotting this terrible terrorist attack and is trying to get us mixed up in it.
Also, if I was a terrorist, why would I be trying to hook you up with one of my compatriots?
It is an excellent cover. It is obvious that your doctor Anna is not trustworthy. A man that attractive coming on to a woman like me? It does not happen. There's something to be suspicious of there.
Please tell me you're listening at the
no,
door.
No, Alan, I'm hiding.
But
yes, behind the door for it.
No, I'm hiding.
So you've actually left the room and wandered off?
Yes.
Okay, we'll tell you this later. Then.
Oh.
That's what he said about you. He said that no woman could be that attractive could be interested in him.
Okay, Jonathan, can you give me an empathy check?
Nope. Well...
You
can run, but he can't.
You
hide.
Leave the hotel room. Where are you going?
Down
to the lobby to
yeah.
have coffee in the restaurant style
yeah.
thing. Okay, you go down to the lobby and find nothing untoward about anyone you go past in the hotel.
Well done.
Oh, this is going to end badly.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back upstairs, she finishes with that.
Look, this. I think this is a. This is a moment to demonstrate. Look, we're not the bad guys here, and Peter's going to go over and endeavour to untie her. We need to sort this out and track down these terrorists.
What do you know about these terrorists, besides the bomb?
Can people give me an empathy check on her?
No,
this is not a lie, please.
Sweet.
Yay!
8.
11.
Six.
Oh.
12. 15.
Okay, so...
Well, those are some good empathy goals. I wish one of us was out in the lobby supporting the bad guys coming up the elevator.
They're not the... They may not be the bad guys. They may just be the French, you know...
No. She's the good guy.
Yeah.
The guys coming up the elevator are the bad guys coming to kill her.
Oh, so suspicious.
Of course they are. This is exactly how it goes. If she's real French intelligence, there are bad guys coming together.
Okay, you were actually reading for her, reading for one of her aspects here.
Yeah.
You will pick up that, what you're telling her might make sense from your point of view, it might not make sense from her point of view. But you think she's inherently kind of a distrustful person.
Mm-hmm.
She has a minor delusion of can anyone be trusted? So she is not inclined by her nature to trust you, almost regardless of what you are saying or evidence you can bring to bear. It's like, obviously, you now have the context that she's a French intelligence agent. She's effectively a spy. All she does all day long is deal in people's, you know, secondary concerns and back dealings and that kind of thing. And when you go over and free her, you know, she doesn't kick you in the face and run away or anything. But she clearly doesn't take this as, okay, now you can be trusted. It's, there's another angle here. What's the game here?
Yeah.
You can see the cogs turning. Are they hoping I'll lead them back to, you know, my lair style of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so right now you think we're terrorists.
She's not psychotically paranoid, but she's paranoid.
Right now you think we're terrorists.
Is there something to do with that giant bomb you have in the room?
Fair enough. So, obviously, the best point right now is to secure the bomb and for you to keep an eye on us. Would you agree with this?
I would.
Would you also agree that you should stick with us for an extended period of time?
You're
I'd say.
Trying to hook them up, are you?
Kind of. Would you also? Oh, actually, there's a. Oh damn it! Give me a second. I need to connect key threads here. Okay, so bomb, stick with us.
Fog's winning.
Yes.
Would you like an invitation to a wedding?
Oh wow, that's not forward at all.
Would you also not at least be a little bit suspicious about Fog's sudden declaration last night?
I had considered he's not here, Fog, is he?
No.
Monsieur. I had considered Monsieur Fog as a suspect until I saw that you knew the cipher.
Now, just because I know a particular phrase doesn't mean that Fog might not also still be a suspect.
Rainbow Fish Mask 7. She says to you in future English.
I stare blankly at that because that means nothing
to
me.
Yeah, that's exactly what she says, translated as Rainbow Fish Mask 7. And then she looks blankly at you and she says, there you see. Our scientists are not far from cracking your cipher. It was clever to use a logical extrapolation of how English and French and German would come together in the future, forming an entirely new language. Clever to steal words from it to form your coded phrases. But we will crack it sooner or later.
Clearly.
So, this fellow who passed...
Everything but the four words is in English.
So, this fellow who passed off the bomb, who landed us with this bomb, who was that? Is this Gaston? Is Gaston the terrorist?
From what she's saying... So the theory, as you understand it, Mara, is you and Gaston gave each other the secret coded phrases, which, as far as she knows, happen to be in a code that specific phrase matches future English for, because the evil terrorists or whatever have designed their code based on an extrapolation of what the language will be in the future.
Wow.
And in fact, people can give me a linguistics-based smarts roll here if they so desire.
Have fun.
Holy shit.
I'll just do a straight smarts roll, I think.
Yeah.
I think people just miss this catch.
It's a plus smarts.
Two. Oh, smarts plus something, is it?
Smarts plus two, because you're a linguist.
Just a four. Oh, come on.
I have no idea.
I didn't explain to you.
She gesticulates, she starts bleeding from the arm again, and you go over and tighten the bandage up.
Oh,
wow.
You
can't pass it off.
Yeah, it's only if she does it.
So I've got a four.
Okay. It would be a pretty big coincidence. On the other hand, what she did just tell you was a bunch of random gibberish.
Hmm.
and if you take enough random gibberish words, you could get one or two phrases that happen to make sense.
But that particular phrase?
Like, what she's saying is certainly within the realms of possibility.
But that particular phrase... not believing that for a second. I mean, it may be true, but believe that. It's too ingrained.
What are you trying to decipher?
The cult language.
So, you were still answering my question.
Sorry.
Oh.
So, you were making a linguistics check when you started talking. You said make a linguistics check. But you were saying what she saw, which was she saw...
She saw Gaston approach Mara, give her a coded phrase. Mara gave a coded phrase back again.
Yeah.
And then another party went up and switched Mara's case for this one.
So
it's a handoff.
Yeah, so...
They confirmed Mara was the person they were supposed to be handing it off to.
Right.
Then switched the cases off. So it wouldn't have been Gaston Lavash who switched them off, but he would have had to have been involved because he was the guy finding the...
So what did the guy that did the handoff look like?
He says, you should only know your own agents.
Well, assume we're not terrorists, then we don't know what this guy... Look... Either we are or we aren't, right? And if we are, this is all a clever trap, in which case you're not giving us any information we don't already know. And if we aren't, then we really need the information to track down the real bad guys.
You are thumping me to try and find out how much intelligence French the Societe Generale has on this. I will not reveal anything to
you. Just a quick question. Say, hypothetical situation. Say we're not the terrorists. We've accidentally received a handoff.
Unlikely, but continue.
What would be the terrorist's next move?
If they've lost the bomb.
It is essential that they require it.
So...
they'd be coming here.
To get the bomb.
That is a possibility, yes. What did they acquire of yours? Anything of value you would trade back for?
Well... there were several important things, but nothing that I'd want a terrorist attack to happen for.
Yeah, we're not trading a bomb back to terrorists just to get our valuable stuff back. We'll find another way.
Yeah.
But right now, I think we might need to get out of this room.
Is there a safe house we can move to?
I don't think she'll reveal... She doesn't believe
well,
us.
Well, is there a jail we can move to?
I don't want to go to jail. Let's just move to another hotel.
We need to get out of here.
Alright, so let's start gathering our stuff quickly.
Yep.
Can I do a quick... Now that I know what the device is...
Yep.
Can I do a repair check or a science check or whatever to figure out the trigger of the device?
Yep. So, yes you can. Either of those will do. Science will give you very slightly better results.
Okay, I'll call science. Yes. Okay, that's 9.
Okay, so you don't have to pull this thing out and look at it. You've already been looking at it for half an hour or so this morning.
Yeah.
Thinking about it. So what we actually see is Mara stops and thinks we see the CGI schematic appear in her mind. And she starts doing the Iron Man, putting them together. You know, you don't need to move your arms, they just click together style of thing. And what you end up with here is, for starters... you don't have all of the parts here.
Hmm.
What you have is essentially the arming mechanism rather than the bomb itself. So what you have in your satchel is not going to explode. Or if it is, it's going to explode, you know, in a big enough area to destroy the case that it's in, as opposed to the entire building style thing. The way it is set up is it is effectively a very classic time bomb. It's got, you know, the ticket... It's got the clock mechanism.
Yes, I noticed the irony.
You were wondering why the hell there was a stopwatch in there, among all the other things. It's the timing mechanism that goes through, and when it hits the preset counter, basically the wires will spark off the explosive mechanism. What it is designed with is a lot of heavy redundancies and anti-tampering features and that sort of thing, coupled with sufficient accelerants, so plastic explosive, gasoline, chemicals, something in that neighbourhood. This would be a big, big bomb. Like, blow up a skyscraper. Not blow up a city, but blow up a skyscraper and a large chunk of surrounding block. No problem.
Do you say that out loud?
I say, oh dear, we have a big problem here. We don't have the bomb. We have the triggering device.
We? Is that what we have been following? The bomb... We know the bomb is already in place. But we have been following the arming mechanism.
It's the Statue of Liberty, isn't it? That's the target.
Well, I can't think of anything more American than that.
It is a possibility on our list, but you already know this.
And Fox,
you are
waiting
to help me get me to reveal information.
And Fox's wedding is happening there as well.
That can't be our priority right now, not with a terrorist attack on American soil. Is there a way to take something out of this case to prevent the triggering mechanism firing?
That's what I'm aiming for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, several components here you could fairly trivially break with a hammer or throwing them out the window or anything in that neighbourhood. Breaking the parts up, this bit won't work without this bit style thing.
Okay, what I want to do is I want to take out a fairly specific component. So it looks like it's still all there, but it's not going to work without this component.
Yeah.
And I give that component to her.
Yeah, brilliant.
She watches you for a long moment, takes it, eyes it up.
You presumably explain what it is.
This must not get into the terrorist's hands. This is what's needed to arm the arming mechanism.
As a spy woman, there is only one place she's allowed to store such objects.
Yeah.
So it's down the chest.
If she wants to make an empathy check, I will let her quite freely read my face.
And
little girl's face.
Yeah, can as she gives this to her, can Mara make a diplomacy check with the big baddie eyes?
This will be a persuasion check.
Yay.
The other two of you that are here can aid in this as well.
Pete made success, you get a plus one.
I got a success as well.
That's a success with the... Oh, ours don't help because you've got your plus two from the charisma, so it's just a success with the one raise.
Yeah, success
so
with the raise.
She stares at the three of you for a long moment, clearly weighing the options up in her mind. Either you are sincere, or you are the worst terrorist I've ever met.
Either way works out for you.
I think on the whole, I will believe you. Then, if you are not my enemies, then Dr. Anar can really shoot like that? Really?
He's just very good. Very worried about mummies. There's a lot of mummies in Egypt. You'd be surprised.
And lots of archaeologists have less than favorable reactions to people's things.
I was led to understand from our files that he had issues with his mother.
No, the young...
It said right there in black and white, mummy issues.
Explain later. Let's get the... let's get our stuff and get out of here. We need to find John and... get out of here before the terrorists come for the bomb. You need a weapon. Do we still have... We would have taken her gun, right?
Yes, so you've kicked it away from her.
Yeah,
she's
so
we'll, in the other room.
Yeah, we'll go get her gun and give it to her.
She's got the bomb. It's like this big fucking custom jaw sniper.
Put the bullets
in
back into
the
gun.
Yeah. We'll just give her the gun and the bullets. She can sort that out. She doesn't have any stuff to pack.
Would you prefer something smaller?
That is all right. And she will start, as you start packing things up, basically, she was carrying like a little suitcase with her.
Yeah.
But she then opens and starts disassembling the gun into it, effectively.
Very assassin style.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. So Pete will pack
his
stuff.
She's a French spy.
And then go down.
She's James Bond, if James Bond was a French chick.
And then separate from the party to go looking for John.
Yep, who I assume is sitting pretty openly in the...
Just before this scene happens, is she past the point where I can heal her more, or is...
No, she's not.
So can I attempt to heal her further?
Yes, she can.
I can just imagine you taking
chicken,
the elevator and the bad guys are coming up the stairs.
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for.
Okay, no, I don't do anything.
You patch her and do it again.
No, damn it, you're only one off, right?
No, three.
Minus three, I'm only four, so I'd need a reroll.
Yeah, no, that's
was any consolation, she was totally going to try and paste you guys.
Fair enough.
Yeah, shot his pieces.
Yeah. I'll try to emotionally help her by putting a cat on her lap.
So you're going to take the bullet for John, right?
That's a general idea.
No, she already knows John shot her. Damn.
And as you're sort of packing them...
That's a way to impress a French spy.
She'll say, I think you can be calm. If they knew where you were and knew that you had the bomb and you were the wrong people, they would already be here. But if you do not know them, then they do not know you.
Right, okay, that's all right. Then I'll just go tell John what happened.
They must be furious. They have handed the precious components off to a complete stranger.
Except that Gaston knows us, and he was the one with the phrase.
Wait, does he know where you are? Did he perhaps charm your lady friends, get their phone numbers, is that sort of thing?
I turn to you.
Oh.
Did you give Gaston Lavache your phone number? No.
Would he track it down anyway? Maybe.
Yeah.
I managed to avoid him, thank you very much.
It is very possible they will find us, but I do not think they will come storming through the door at any moment.
Okay, good to know. Still want to find John. I think he might be a little upset.
Were you keeping an eye on Gaston during the night? I noticed you were quite...
I was told he was the point of contact for the terrorists who would be meeting with him. I was keeping an eye on him to see who it was he would make contact with. I had never suspected a 10-year-old girl.
Look, I live in a society of academics. We make up languages all the time. Just look at Doctor Strange. She's a master of languages.
This sounds plausible. She's not convinced, but she's going along.
I'll mutter something in some ancient language and impressively.
You're literally never going to be able to convince her because
it
keeps bouncing off your delusion.
It does annoy Vara that she drew the wrong conclusion.
Yeah.
She still doesn't quite believe it either.
And you go downstairs and find Jonathan having some good American coffee.
Mm.
Black.
She's an agent for French intelligence. She thought we were terrorists. Apparently you just shoot too well for an archaeologist. To really be an archaeologist.
And runs too hot.
And she thinks you're too hot. And she thinks you're too hot to be, you know, an innocent person who isn't up to anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're perfect for each other. I must hook these two up.
It's never gonna happen.
Mara's gonna try. This is her ship, damn it.
Full of trust in you.
This is Mara's ship. She will see it launched.
No, she won't.
She will see it launched with
the
power of a 10-year-old fad girl.
She will push the ship with her own bare hands.
With the power of a 10-year-old fad girl, she will make this happen.
No, she really won't.
I don't.
Anyway,
I want grandchildren.
Anyway, now that we've found out we've accidentally picked up a terrorist bomb, we need to switch hotels.
Did you just say that in the lobby?
But
no one can hear you if they're just walking past.
Yeah,
fair enough.
It's a well-known rule of.
Oh, that's right.
It's the
spy genre. This is the action genre.
It's the hallway conversation.
Yeah.
If there are people specifically listening for you, they will hear you.
Yeah.
The random hotel maitre d', however, can't hear you as you walk past. As you walk past, you.
I will go up
bombs.
To the front counter and advise about the blown glass window.
Pigeon flew into it.
I'll make it sound like it's a small hole, and when they get to the top, it's a big, huge, freaking huge hole.
Yeah. The guy sort of nods. Yes, ma'am. Pigeon flew into your window. Understood. We'll send the super up as soon as we can.
You could have said an eagle. It happened once.
You know, writes down small pigeon hole in room 77.
Yeah. All right. So I think we want to change hotels. Endeavour to avert suspicion, make it harder for people to track us down, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Also, I don't feel entirely safe in this one after we were sniped.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we get the penthouse next time.
It would have been entirely non-lethal. You see? She shows you the
star.
Yeah.
I did find that odd behaviour for a sniper. It makes more sense now I understand you're an officer of the law.
And besides, what if I was mistaken?
Then it was a good... And as you were, it was a good call. Well done.
On the other hand, would you trust a masked stranger knocking you out and taking you somewhere you don't want to go?
I did not wish to take you out. I wish to remove the bomb from your presence, thus denying your plan, and then follow you until you make contact with your fellow agents.
Good plan.
Yeah, we need a lead on the actual terrorists.
We could leave the bomb here.
So is she rejoining you at any point, Jonathan?
Nope.
Well, Jonathan, we are like, so I am actually tracking you down to try and get you to rejoin the party. Whether or not you want to date this woman, you do actually need to travel with us as a party at some point.
Yeah, okay, but I'm like hiding in the back.
Yeah.
So she will sort of approach you and say, Dr. Anna, and you're just going to basically blow her off and drift away from her.
Sorry about shooting you.
Sorry about shooting you.
It is quite understandable in the circumstances. I'd known you were a proficient archaeologist, but I was not aware you were such a marksman.
Not really a skill I advertise.
Our files would have to be updated.
Okay.
Can't be trusted. Very good marksman.
Yeah. If we had known of your level of skill, more agents than I would have been sent.
Pete's giving you eyebrow wiggle.
Mara's trying to use my
diplomacy. I assure you, you have, how you say, left an impression. I would think of you every day when my right arm aches.
An aches on the floor.
Well, the good news is it will heal.
Yes. Yes, I thought it was worth spending the point to bring it up to a temporary injury.
Yeah, that's too creepy.
Hey, you shot her. I didn't shoot her.
Look, normally when someone strikes you, they're a bad guy.
Yes, but this is the espionage mission where nothing is wanted appears.
So wait, you're saying the pigeons were the terrorists all along?
Okay, so you go and check into another hotel, get in a cab, go to another hotel several blocks away, check in under fake name style of thing.
Yep. Mm.
Yep. We're the Smith Party. Sorry, I'm turning your friend. The Smith Party. Yep, fifth one today. Here's your room key.
Yeah,
you can get the room key since you're the most Smith person out of all of us.
Yep, thank you. Alright, so we have hold up. Unfortunately, because we have accidentally shot French intelligence agents, we don't actually have a link on the terrorists. I mean, it's great to know they have a bomb, but... And it's great that Mara has disarmed the bomb to as much as we can, but we need to actually... What we need to do probably is track down Gaston Lavache, because we know he's a terrorist.
Oui, he is our only connection to the rest of the cell.
Okay, so do you know any... do you know of where he is right now?
I would assume he is in... I do not know for certain. I've been tracking you instead, but I would assume he is in his penthouse apartment.
Okay, well, we could start there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we want to change hotels to try and throw people off our scent to make certain people don't break into our rooms and stuff, because we can't carry all our stuff around with us. But then we want to try and find Gaston's hotel.
These components for the arming mechanism, they are important, but if the accelerants are already in the hands of the terrorists, then if they do not... If they do not receive them again, they will continue with their plan in whatever methodology they can. Perhaps the damage will be alleviated slightly, but...
They might build another armament mechanism.
Oui. I do not think one of the same quality, but you were concerned about handing it back to them, but I believe it may turn out to be necessary in order to facilitate luring them into a trap.
That does make sense.
The part I've taken... won't be noticed unless they do a detailed inspection. So if we can get them back to them as late as possible so they can't check it over.
Possibly. But we cannot expect them to be as foolish as you, as the illusion that you skillfully create around yourselves.
No, we're not terrorists. I'm not prepared to go so far as we're not foolish. But Gaston presumably doesn't want his bomb back. He was trying to hand it off to somebody who's presumably now wandering around looking for a bomb. Someone who was at that party who didn't find their contact.
Yeah. So those are the terrorists that you're missing.
Yeah.
The thing is, that terrorist wouldn't know about Gaston, that because he won't be using the phrase anymore.
Yeah, and Gaston won't know who that guy is.
I do not know how much of a part Gaston holds in this, whether he is Patsy or Mastermind.
Well, we could go find him and interrogate him.
When I spoke to him, all he seemed interested in doing was working out if I had money and then trying to get in my pants, but perhaps that was merely an obvious cover.
No,
you
that's
him. He seems pretty dedicated.
Amanda nods.
She hasn't met him more than the once.
When we met him in Cairo, he seemed just focused on picking up a rich archaeologist lady. Oh, God, that's Dr. Strange. A different rich archaeologist lady. And if he was a terrorist, he was a pretty darn sneaky one. Mm. Nothing actually blew up at Cairo. A giant mummy attack, but nothing blew up. Alright, so can we find out... How can we find out where Gaston's hotel room is?
This is pretty easy. She already has this information, so she gives you by address.
Yeah.
He is on, basically... I don't know what the rich district is in New York. Anybody know?
Times Square?
No, Times
Manhattan?
Square.
Manhattan's the island. Queens?
Queens.
Let's say he's in that version of the Trump Tower.
Yep. So yes, he is in basically an actual living apartment rather than a hotel room.
Yeah.
In a big fancy tower in the rich district.
Yeah, like when we go to this tower, Mara's going to look at it and shudder, and nobody else is going to know why.
The president. The president! The end of all things!
Yeah, you're gonna be like,
the
45th president!
Yeah. The Phileas fog came down and begun the end. The
45th
yes. president. Fog
and Elsa had a son, and they named him.
Elsa, seriously?
Yeah, no, if he was descended from Elsa, he'd be bitter.
Yeah.
In any case.
Yes, so we are going to go there and see if we can track down Gaston, I guess.
I think I just got that connection, too.
What connection?
Well, the main lead in Frozen was Elsa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fog, lady from Frozen, ice, fog. No, I'm reaching.
Completely unintentional.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, a little bit reaching.
Blame my roommate, he's into conspiracy websites.
Which one's this?
Lex.
Oh.
So, Doctor Anna, what is your plan? Do you intend to take your allies and confront Monsieur Lavache head on? Subtle? Use subtlety and infiltration? Or interrogate him?
I think some of us should go and talk to Gaston. See what we can find out from him, but I think some of us should go and see if we can find anything at any of the possible sites.
Check out the Statue of Liberty. I really think that's where they're going to go.
Most likely, but
alright. What skills finding explosives in a building?
Search?
Yeah, notice.
Yeah. So is it the whole statue that's opening up today or just the torch?
It is in fact opening tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it is the entirety of the thing. Well, like the island is physically there, obviously, and the statue is physically all there. It's just not open to the public yet. There's still probably, you know, a couple of dozen officials, guards, blah, 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 wandering around.
It's not
actually
open to the public, you say.
Yes.
But I'm a construction worker.
You're the construction worker.
I know people in the construction industry.
So you're the one person in the world who can walk onto a construction site without a high vis and hard hat to get on.
The Empire State Building was built about this time.
Yeah.
Rule of 15, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, the Statue of Liberty is a logical target, particularly because there is a French connection there.
Yeah.
But there are at least three or four more.
One at a time, I'm thinking.
Among other things, the president-to-be, Gregory Gladhand, is also a potential target for this sort of thing.
Yes, very true. Although, it just seems like a large building taking out bombs is a little overkill for one guy.
Yeah, on the other hand, A, terrorist, so it's actually about sending a message rather than just necessarily killing someone, and B, pulp terrorists.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a big bomb. It's never going to be a little bomb.
But on the other hand, wasn't Fogg's planning to get married there?
Yes.
Presumably he'd invite Gregor.
Presumably, yes.
Alright, so I propose I go check out the Statue of Liberty. I think Mara should go interrogate Gaston because she's got mind reading powers.
Yep.
So what about Dr. I'm thinking 2-2 parties is better than.
If you're gonna have a 2-2, Mara can do the interrogation as well because of hypnosis.
That's what I was saying. I think she should be on the hypnosis party. I'm asking which party the two of you want to come along.
Can I get common knowledge checks from everyone at -2? Dr. Strange, you don't take a penalty for this. You are sufficiently wealthy.
Oh, okay.
8.
8 also.
5.
And yes, it's a mirror.
11.
Yes. Okay. So, Jonathan, you were aware that this is, probably that this will be a fairly ritzy building that he's in, and it won't be as simple as just walking through the door. You, Dr. Strange, would expect that Gaston Lavache will have, doorman and security people in his building, period, designed to keep, everyone out who doesn't have an official reason to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention various flunkies and goons of his own and that sort of thing around.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going to be as simple as you just roll up to his apartment and walk through the front door.
Of course, Gaston might have left instructions that elderly ladies of a sufficiently wealthy bent who expressed an urgent desire to see him might just roll straight up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And Annabelle also said, if there are disguises required and Dr. Anar is not already a master of such skills, I can assist.
Cool. No, this is not the character that can disguise people.
So
we can
a team bro party there.
Yeah.
You and me go look at the bomb site and
the boys and the girls fall apart.
Well, I'm thinking that you two can take our spy lady, who's probably good at interrogating people and finding out about terrorists and stuff, to go talk to Gaston.
She has the stunt master of disguise.
Awesome.
Which says putting together a disguise requires her only a minute or less. Gains a bonus to persuasion to disguise things and gains a large bonus if she has actual useful props.
Cool. Well, then she can help disguise Jonathan as a construction worker, and Pete doesn't need a disguise for this because he actually is a construction worker.
There's the wrench and everything.
Yeah.
Phone ran out of data. And to put more data on my phone, I need internet to be able to put in a 4-digit password.
Irony.
Yeah.
How cruel the age of technology.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I was going to look up and find out about the whole New York thing, and it's like, oh, well, I can't do that. That's fine. The data would only be... the data's not necessary. I don't have to have data. It's just for today that I was more interested in it. Because it cost me $2 to put an extra 100 meg on, which would have been all I needed to find out about that.
You could simply ask Annabelle Sinclair. Assuming that Dr. Anna was not hiding for her.
Yeah, no, I'm hiding.
Oh.
What's your problem with her character?
She's obviously hiding. She's obviously evil and up to something.
Well, she's from French intelligence.
He's got the same delusion she does.
What? Oh, okay.
No one can be trusted.
Okay. Man, and you're the shifty-eyed one. She's not shifty-eyed, but... she's deadpan.
Yes, she's definitely not shifty-eyed. No, she's a high persuasion character, unsurprisingly. Given her stock in trade is lying to people about everything.
Yeah. That's a shame. I wanted to hook you to
that. It was never going to happen.
I want grandchildren.
I'm not your child.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, but her husband's a cat now, so this is as close as you can
get. Yeah, I've lost my chance.
and the only other eligible woman in the campaign is getting married tomorrow. So
yeah, and you can't take her.
I wasn't planning on it either.
I know you're weird, but you can't take her because bro rules broke out.
At this point, you're down to what was his name, the alchemist from Transylvania with the googly eyes. The one that drugged you and tied you to a pipe.
The evil one who was murdering people.
Yes.
Yes, I remember.
We haven't met any nice ladies, have we?
What, there was Mrs. Winningham?
The crazy cat lady.
Yeah. Who the fuck would go out with a crazy cat lady?
I mean, we're crazy. We talk to animals like Disney princesses.
Get some bash, apparently.
I'm not sure what you want in the way of nice ladies. I mean, you've got, you know, the hot female spy here.
Yeah.
What more can you ask?
The problem is that she's suspicious. He's suspicious of her being suspicious. There's too much suspicion. He's never going to get a girlfriend if he's suspicious of every woman he dates.
There'll be dinosaurs later.
You can't have children with dinosaurs.
Well, roll science.
Bad science. I can now have babies with dinosaurs.
Oh, there's Christina, nice young scientist girl, turns into a dinosaur.
She's I suppose she's still in this universe. Oh, and there's also Jonathan's friend, the Jonathan's, not Jonathan, Helen's character's girlfriend's friend. Pete's girlfriend's friend. She's back in Germany, however, so she's a little bit far away.
Why is everyone so worried about Jonathan's love life?
I'm sorry, I'm married. She's too young. Mara's far too young to have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
We're trying to get his girlfriend back again. Yeah. My butler's gone.
Yeah. So, sorry, Jonathan. As an eligible man in this series, you have to be shipped with someone. It's just a rule. You can't be single on TV.
Yeah.
It could be worse. If you were a female character, you'd be in the same boat, but worse.
This is true.
Everywhere you go, there'd be attractive, you know, young men of various stripes.
Yeah, then you'd have to choose one. Or choose all of them. Can't be a single female that's pretty. It's against the rules.
Well, unless you did the sort of more player style thing, and you know, just had a girl or a guy in every port.
Yeah, but you're too suspicious of
everyone. If you go for the classic TV girl thing, it's in order to avoid being a slut, you have to be in love with them all, but you also have to sleep with them all because it's TV, and you have to have sex with everyone you meet as fast as possible, basically. So every adventure you go, find someone, fall madly in love with them, you know, sleep with them, then leave, and in the next adventure we'd find someone else and fall madly in love with them, and just never mention your girlfriend back in New York again.
What ends up happening is they die. They get killed.
That happens too, but the series gets a bit grim if they all get killed.
They all get deported to a different country.
I'm thinking mostly of Xena here, where her and Gabrielle went from village to village and hooked up with every guy from here to ancient Greece style thing.
Except for each other.
But because they were women, they had to be in love with them, otherwise it was slutty. So you end, hence the hilarious spectre of everywhere they go, they meet people and fall badly in love with them within the space of, you know, 10 minutes.
Yeah,
this is Xena, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Happy down. We're commenting that if Jonathan was a girl, then he'd have to have a guy in every port style of thing.
Yeah.
Because he can't be single, he has to be shipped with someone.
Yeah.
It's a rule.
Well, I just pointed it out. It's like, Mara's far too young for a boyfriend. You're trying to get your girlfriend. I'm married to a cat.
Yeah, Jonathan. That's why
Jonathan's here to raise our ratings with women aged 18 to 34. That's why we cast you as that.
Come on! Why did my prophet have to leave?
I mean, you're...
I had Bernard and Jeremy to take the heat off.
Now you're just doomed. But now we're just...
In all fairness, out of the three of them, Bernard's too old, and Jeremy's kind of a prick.
But he does have the sexy English accent.
Yeah.
And Jonathan
is kind of the dodgy, shifty-eyed guy. He's the bad boy that girls... Whereas Pete's clearly the straight arrow.
Pete's the protagonist.
Yeah.
But Jonathan's
the Superman.
But Jonathan's the protagonist's best friend that the girls like better than the protagonist.
Oh god, it's Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
So
you got to prefer it that way around.
was there a master plan at work here?
My suggestion was that Jonathan and I go investigate the Statue of Liberty for bombs, which is a great sentence and should really be done just on principle, with Annabelle's help to disguise Jonathan as a construction worker.
Yep.
And then, given that she can do it really fast, and that Doctor Strange, Mara and Annabelle potentially go check out Gaston Lavash. With Joshua Strange is not having to disguise at all cover as a rich woman who might conceivably want him.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to go for?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the most efficient plan.
You just don't want to deal with the Frenchman.
Yeah. I'll have to use my womanly wiles.
Yeah. Yeah, so just because you play a 65-year-old doesn't mean you don't get out, you get on using womanly wiles.
So where's Annabelle Sinclair going?
The theory was with Doctor Strange.
It's girls and boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plus, that way she gets to, you know, she's going to, you know, investigate a noted terrorist. It's a good use of her skills. I'm sure she could search for bombs as well, but...
Okay, so, just briefly touching on Jonathan and Pete before we cut away from them.
Yeah.
So you want to procure construction uniforms and things.
Well, I want to declare that I am... It says right on my character description, greasy overalls.
Yes,
I've been wearing them the whole time. We want to procure them for him.
Yes. So you can do this fairly trivially.
Yeah.
If you want the stuff that's not only suitable, but exactly suitable, i.e. exactly what the people currently working on the statue are wearing style of thing, then, Pete, I'll give you two options for that. You can either make a resources check to basically procure it from the right place, essentially, rather than necessarily pay huge money for it. Or you could simply spend a hero point and go, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
Well, that's one from the attic.
Which will give you...
I know people who are working on the Statue of Liberty.
They're my team.
No, we didn't get that contract, but I know people. I know other construction companies.
Yeah, so you call up your buddy Tommy.
Yeah.
And say, you
know... Another Tommy. Bruce.
What's wrong with Tommy?
He's got...
Why
she's got
Tommy?
Tom.
No.
Ah.
Meow, meow.
Sorry. You call up your buddy Tommy and, you know, tell him, oh, yeah, you know, I need to get into the Statue of Liberty, no questions asked style of thing. And he says, oh, you know, well, you could take my place, you know. Me and my buddy Jake are out real sick today.
Yeah.
Oh, good, they have two spare uniforms for you.
Sweet.
Nice.
Okay. And meanwhile, Dr. Strange...
This sounds like a job for a construction worker.
You even come with your own tools.
Yeah. These are legitimate construction tools that just happen to be useful for bopping mafiosos on the head.
So Annabelle at some point will disappear into the bathroom for a couple of minutes, and when she comes back out, the sniper in the sort of bulky suit has vanished. In their place is this sort of very prim, proper-looking secretary with the high heels on, the long skirt going all the way down to the ankle, the shirt buttoned all the way up, has on thin horn-rimmed glasses, hair pulled back in the most severe bun you can imagine. She looks, you know, a few years older style of thing, and yet somehow is still pulling off the movie woman thing where she's one unclasping of the hair away from, you know, swishing her hair and popping three buttons on her shirt style of thing.
Fine.
But she will disguise herself as your secretary, effectively.
Okay.
Because that's exactly what she's doing.
Yep.
Awesome.
Okay. And the three
and
of you...
And what is Mara going to be?
Mara.
Yeah, I mean, you are... You're not
it's
disguised.
Not like he's going to hit on a 10-year-old girl.
You're not disguised as someone. You're Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I know, but... Like...
Doctor Strange hangs around with Mara.
Okay.
And
but
so...
the thing is that Gaston Lavash wouldn't necessarily let Mara in, whereas Doctor Strange, he would totally let him.
You will show up. So your plan is literally just to roll up to his building and knock on the doors, effectively?
Request an audience.
Yep. So you roll up to the building, and there is, of course, a doorman standing. Basically, a doorman will let you into the main lobby of the building. There's effectively a reception area in there.
Mm.
And the guy behind the reception desk looks up at you and he says, yes, may I help you?
Could I please... I require an audience of Gaston.
Flick through his book. Y'all have an appointment?
Yes, we do.
Resources
check. Do I need to roll it?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that was not a good enough one. It was a 3. Is it really... it's not really worth it, is it? I'll give him a tip.
Mr. Lincoln's not enough. I need Mr. Franklin.
Yeah, I'll give him a tip. It obviously wasn't an amazing tip, but it's a tip.
Yeah, the building's obviously a little more high class than you were expecting because he just takes it as a tip as opposed to as a bribe.
Yeah.
And then checks through. He says, no, I'm sorry, I don't see you in here.
Can you call him? Say that Dr. Amanda Strange is here.
And wishes very much to see him.
Yeah, and wishes very much to see him.
Of course. And your name, miss?
Mara Priscilla Memeyu.
Actually, it's probably an operator thing, isn't it? Just like tap, tap, tap.
Operator. Actually, yeah, there's a hotel. They could have their own reception.
Yeah.
Anyway, he calls through up to Lavash's room. He says, yes, Mr. Lavash, I'm sorry to disturb you. There's a Dr. Amanda Strange here and Amara Priscilla Mamal to see you.
Mamal?
Mamal.
Like a cat now.
See you. I see. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see. Yes, sir. How important are you, Dr. Strange? Are you sufficiently important and wealthy that he's going to let you in? Can you roll me another resource?
Are you the sort of person he lets in?
5. It was a pass, but it was an amazing one.
Well, so, the good news is next level when you boost your arcane... Oh, no, next level after when you boost your arcane, you can also boost your resources.
I'm afraid that Mr. Lavash has appointments all morning. However, I can fit you in about an hour and a half, if that suits.
This should be fine.
Feel free to avail yourself of our coffee bar if you wish to.
Okay.
And then we cut away.
Darn it!
The
resources were not good enough.
Pete and Jonathan, well, they were good enough to get you in. They were good enough to get you in on the spot.
Yeah.
Pete and Jonathan basically get on a boat.
Clearly, the Gaston likes to be the pursuer more than the pursued.
Yeah.
When you were running away from him, you couldn't get enough. Now that we're going to see him.
Going out to... Oh, it's painfully obvious I've done no research for this game. Ellis Island, I think, where the Statue of Liberty is.
Sounds about right.
So you were on this boat full of basically other greasy guys in overalls.
Yeah.
Charming.
The SS Sausage Fest heads out to Ellis Island.
Nice.
Yeah. Pete feels right at home.
Yeah.
He wishes they were really going out there to do some construction.
I've been one of those people.
It's not like we can't do construction. We just, have to look for the bomb first.
Well, while doing it.
As you pile out, there is actually security here to some extent, so you're not certainly going to be stopped and heavily patted down and checked or anything, but people will at least look at you and assess whether you're supposed to be here or not. So because of the nature of the place, as soon as you move into it, you get checked on your disguises. Because Annabelle is not here, she can't use her persuasion for you. But you can get the benefit of her stunt because she has disguised you, so both of you can make persuasion checks at a +4 bonus.
Nice.
So we don't get the benefit of Pete having spent the fate point to make the...
I think you don't get a penalty for that.
You basically... because you have the accurate things... here it is. Her stunt is Master of Disguise... she can put a disguise together quickly, blah, blah, blah. If she is using sufficient genuine props, like an actual construction uniform from the job itself, she grants a +4 bonus.
Oh, sweet. Okay, so +4 to... What?
Persuasion.
Persuasion.
Even though you're dressed up, you still don't actually belong here. You're not working on this job.
Does that just negate my -4?
Yes, it does.
Wow.
Yeah. What does Jonathan look like? A sort of shifty character who should be hauled out
6.
Of here.
Alright, and Pete got 7 +4. a 15.
Yes.
You're just going right at home.
I am the construction worker.
You're part of the scenery.
There's
the construction worker.
There's not even a blink as the gate guard just kind of waves you through.
Yeah.
You know, he sort of looks up at you for a moment and says, "Hey, haven't seen you before."
On replacing Tommy, he's down 6. Some kind of bug.
Okay. You look like I'm gonna guess a Pete.
Yep, that's right.
Huh. What do you know? Sorry, I get bored here. Not much happening at the statue at the moment. Go on in, see what the frogs built us.
Frogs.
That old pulp blatant racism.
And you go in and the Statue of Liberty is basically
British.
95% constructed, but of course, you know, because it's opening tomorrow, but of course, being a pulp game, if it's under construction, it has to have a hole in it somewhere.
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, it's up by the crown of the head where they're still welding beams together and that sort of thing.
As all the framework and everything.
So you can go in and start poking around. Your disguise is pretty good for it. No one's going to ask you who you are and what you're doing here. You've got plenty of time to go and poke around. You will discover very rapidly what you probably knew already. For starters, you'll need to check Ellis Island rather than just the statue itself, because a bomb of sufficient size that will damage the island could also not blow the statue up, but say if you just blew it up enough that it fell down, that would probably do the same job. So you need to check the island as well. And the statue itself is the size of a skyscraper and is full of rooms and nooks and crannies and this and that and the other thing. So it's not going to be you walk in, look around for 3 minutes and go.
I have to have a proper look.
Don't forget to check the crown for mutants.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And then we will cut back to the lobby.
Yes.
An hour and a half later, where exactly an hour and a half later, the guy sort of looks at his watch. Comes over to you, Doctor Strange, Miss Mamal. If you'll head over to the elevator, please. Top floor. And you step out and into the top floor. You've been directed down to the office rather than his apartment, given the way you have come to meet him. There is the Gaston Lavache Charity for Underprivileged Orphans is the logo that's outside, and what it is, it's the Gaston Lavache Charity for Underprivileged Orphans in very little text under the giant name.
Wow.
Ooh,
I take it Amanda's with us as well.
Full of class.
Annabelle.
Sitting quietly behind you, sort of pretending to take notes.
Given she's a spy, she may really be taking notes.
Yeah, I think she's actually taking notes.
And you go up, you know, knock on the door, you know, come in. Open my door and enter my parlour.
I'm so happy I'm a guy in this game now.
Dr. Strange takes a deep breath in, lets it out slowly before opening the door.
I say before you open the door, enter freely and unafraid.
You open the door. Gaston Lavache is sitting on the other side of his desk, dressed impeccably in the very sort of Armani classic high-end style suit.
We were back at Dracula's castle.
He has a couple of flunkies sitting around here. Not bodyguards per se. They're not big thuggy guys with guns. They look like bureaucratic underlings style of things. And he'll talk to you. Dr. Strange, there you are. Comes over, takes your hand. It is so good to see you again. I knew you could not keep away, eh? Hello, come in, take a seat. And you, Miss Young Miss Memo, you mess it over there. You are not rich, you are not interesting. Oh, did I say that loud? I did not mean to.
To the ashes.
No, no.
You are not interesting. Except as a partner spy, but there you go.
Come with me, Myra. I'll take her by my hand as I sit down where he signals.
Please, what may I do? What may the great Gaston Lavache do for you? Perhaps you have heard of my fine work with the orphans.
Yes, do tell us about these orphans.
Oh, well,
It is the finest thing in the world. America, as you know, is home to some of the poorest people on earth. Well, right now, there are orphans in the streets of New York starving. No, there are.
Yeah, somewhere. You know, and he starts weaving.
He
starts weaving this elaborate tale of, you know, the savage Americans and, you know, how they're leaving these poor children to starve in the streets.
He starts ripping your wretch for no apparent reason.
Yeah, that's the one. Pete white knuckles on his wretch. But of course, he is standing in the Statue of Liberty where Richard Gere is planning to marry his girlfriend.
There are cities out there like
Pittsburgh
where it's just covered entirely in snow and 10,000 children freeze to death every year. So.
Okay, now it's definitely Gaston.
Fortunately, Gaston has, out of the goodness of his heart and with some kindly donations, you know. And I must thank the lovely Mrs. Whitting and Garrow for giving me the seed money to begin, yeah? If I had not gotten into a hotel room to see her, I probably would not be here today. Good thing no one made the notice check.
Oh, man. The GM is trolling us now.
he rattles on at great lengths about the tone of which is basically, there are some poor children out there somewhere. If you give him vast sums of money, he will take care of them in some ill-defined fashion.
Yeah.
Also, Gaston Lavache is awesome.
Yeah, I could tell.
The main thrust of his thing appears to be about how heroic and selfless he is. We are passed every penny along to the little children, he says, lighting up his Cuban cigar, which he lies back and smokes in his Armani suit in his penthouse office.
I start, you know, asking him uncomfortable questions about his charity's infrastructure.
Ah, I do not understand all the little money details. That is what the accountants are here for.
He just goes, yes, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's totally what they're here for.
You know, I feel sorry for these accountants. They have to deal with him all the time.
Yeah.
And he will start endeavouring to sweet talk you into offering donations. To the underprivileged orphan style of thing. And you can steer this around in whatever direction you want to. He will go on for as long as you can stand to hear him talk. So 4 minutes later.
Yeah.
So, is this perhaps a social combat? As they're actually trying...
Entirely depends what you're aiming to achieve.
Yeah. Because we're trying to get... Well, they are trying to get information out of him about him being a terrorist, but I presume you don't, you know... start that kind of conversation off with Mr. Lavache, are you perchance a terrorist
if you start trying to turn it around in that direction, that will become a social combat of you trying to get the information out of him, convince him to give up the information in whatever fashion. If you're merely hoping to come in here and have a look around the place, that's pretty much what you're doing now. If you want to pull out a gun and fill him full of lead, presumably no one will stop you from doing so.
So tempting.
It's entirely up to you.
Not with me. I think we'll probably be going into a social combat. I think that's probably the easiest way of doing it. Unless, of course,
Because I don't think Mara's mind reading power works on someone who isn't helpless, which Gaston isn't.
No, it does.
No, it does.
Oh, right.
If you succeed without a raise, then the target becomes aware you've done it.
Yeah.
Which, generally speaking, you know, people will become very hostile to you reading their minds.
Yeah.
For very obvious reasons.
I think it's probably a bad call to start off with something like that.
Yeah, it's my trump card when we need something important.
If you're like, you don't quite make the social combat to get the last piece of information out of him style of thing, and then you mind read him a bit hastily.
Theoretically, mind reading is a lot easier and quicker than social combating him too, because effectively you take him out in social combat and he gives you all the information that he has to give you style of thing. Mind reading is quicker, simpler, and doesn't expose you to getting wounded in the process, but A only gives you the one answer, and B, you know, an escalation factor involved.
If you don't get a raise.
If you do get a raise, then he's not aware he's told you. He's become aware of the temporal anomaly.
So I think someone might lead in with the question like, hey, so Mr. Lavache, what are you really doing in New York?
He looks like he's pretty established here. How long has his charity been running?
Presumably not long, like a couple of months, because he will have come from... He wasn't doing this scam in Cairo.
Okay.
You also know the code phrase because I told you it.
Yeah, and I also know what the code phrase means. I think I'll start off with talking about the party, like how the party went for him and why he went for it.
The New York nightlife. It is almost enough to put Paris to shame. Almost. And the women here, they are, how you say, so attractive.
I'm not American.
Ah, but the streets of New York, they light up your features like the sun.
Yeah, I think I know what kind of social damage Doctor Strange is going to take. It's like, I can't be in the
same anguish.
Yeah, I can't be in the same room as Jason LaMarche anymore.
Well, like, theoretically, if he takes you out hard enough in social combat, it's possible to get seduced by him. Where you just go, yeah, no, I can't fight this anymore. Whatever. I hope it will end soon. Sorry, Tom.
Sorry, Tom.
It's not I think long before that you can see.
Okay, so I might ask, do you want to start off with anything?
Well, do we want to actually do the social combat now, given that it is 10 o'clock?
Good point.
That's the other thing.
Essentially, your aim is to start up a social combat with him?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so... Look at he sort of rattles on at you about the underprivileged orphans and all that sort of thing. Annabelle takes polite notes. As the camera pans in, her eyes sort of look around the room, looking for guns or exit points or whatever style of thing.
I assume that if things go to shit, that's when she will come into play.
Yeah, for the moment, she's just sitting quietly. She's certainly not interacting with this part of it.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, though, she's also very badly worked it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lavash says, but perhaps you have heard me speak long enough. You know, tell me what brings you now to my office, and we will cut. And the three of you will look at each other and do the little nod, and then we cut away there.
Nice.
And then we see Pete and Jonathan poking round the Statue of Liberty. And then we will actually cut away from that. And we see Phileas Fogg swanning out of the big title over the shop reads New York's Finest Jewelry style thing. And Fogg comes swanning out. And he has a ring in his hand with this gigantic, gaudy diamond the size of a bird's egg. You know,
yeah.
It's this big, the sort of thing that would actually cramp your finger to wear.
Aww.
Elsa is not actually wearing it, per se. He is merely waving it round decoratively.
Yeah.
And in a loud voice, he's... I have to switch between him and Lavash. The two of them. There. In a big, loud voice, so all the passerbys turn around and look at him. There, you see, Elsa, what a magnificent diamond I'll be buying you. And soon, you and I will be husband and wife. I will be Lord Phileas Fogg, and you will be Lady Phileas Fogg. Everything is coming up, Fogg. And Elsa stares into the diamond, and we see, you know, her sad expression reflected round it, and then we cut out.
You have
to
save her.
I know I have to save her for these terrorists in New York.
Good thing they could.
Okay, if you get the green chip again, and there's a chance to use it to stop the wedding, please use it.
Well,
I'll be quite happy for you to use it.
Of course I'm going to stop the wedding. I'm just hoping I can actually find some time to go see Elsa and try and talk her into stopping the wedding, or else I'm going to just have to show up at the ceremony and shall I object?
Yeah,
at the last possible minute?
Yeah.
Could that possibly happen?
Is there any objections? Yes!
I know I'm going to come to that, but I want to at least try the talking to Elsa part of the plan.
Okay, and we will leave it there for the session. See you guys next week.